Wednesday, July 24, 2023. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means networking with other sports bettors. Probably one of the more important things that you will discover as a sports bettor as you learn to be a better sports bettor. And something that Bet Bash, coming up in just almost 2 weeks now at the point that I am releasing this, one of the reasons why Bet Bash is so valuable. You've probably heard me mention that I'll be out in Las Vegas in August for Bet Bash. It's a sports betting networking event. It's a conference. It's a there's going to be an induction for the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. There's a number of different things happening at this event, but probably none more important than getting a chance to meet people inside of the sports betting and gambling space and grow your network, because the more and more you get into this, the more accounts you get a hold of, the smarter and sharper you become, the more valuable that network really is. So I am looking forward to going, and this week's episode is a nice little preview for that. Professional sports bettor Spanky, who is the person behind Bet Bash, he threw Bet Bash 1 in Jersey City, 2021, I believe? That sounds right. Then he had Bet Bash 2 at Circa last year, now Bet Bash 3 this year. Spanky is making his debut on The Better Life to talk about Bet Bash, all of the events, what to expect. We get into the scavenger hunt, what that'll be like, getting Billy Walters to agree to the live interview that they're doing, the induction ceremony for the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, the Twitter, the Can't We All Get Along Twitter panel, and a number of other things revolving Bet Bash. But of course, Spanky provides us a little background on who he is as a bettor. A shorter episode, but a good one. Enjoy. Okay, a gentleman whose name is mentioned often in the gambling and betting space, and is a bit of a legend in his own rights among sports bettors. Spanky is with me here today. Spanky, thank you for joining The Better Life.
Hey, what better thing to do than have a better life? Thanks for having me on, Tim.
When I started this podcast, it was because bettors just kind of live a different life, right? Like the way we view the way we watch sporting events is a little different than the average person. Then just with risk assessment and maybe even a little bit of self-loathing, right? We experience life just a little bit different. But Spanky, I want to start this interview where we start all of my interviews, and that's to learn about your first exposure to gambling. When was the first time you remember being around it, seeing it, being introduced to it?
First time I got exposed to gambling was I was 5 years old and I was playing the family poker game. My mother taught me basic arithmetic using playing cards, addition, subtraction, and watching my family play poker. That's the first time, and I started playing backgammon with my pops and my brothers, and the rest is history.
Do you remember when you were playing that poker game, what about it compelled you? Was it the gambling aspect? Was it the game itself, like the game theory behind it? Like, what about poker? Like, did you find any interest in it? And what do you think got you interested in it?
Well, the most compelling thing was the fast money. Money was going fast. And that's the thing. And again, this is probably when I got a little older now, because that was my first exposure at 5. Yeah. But once I got older and I realized, you hear about minimum wage back then, it was like $5 an hour. And you're thinking, my God, these people, you know, they're making what a minimum wage is in about 5 seconds sometimes, you know. So that's when you're like, okay, wow, this thing could, you know, you could either go busto pretty fast or you could get rich pretty fast. Didn't realize hard work was involved. Was just the lure of fast money was always there, and the bug kind of bit me, and then I just wanted to get educated and learn more and more.
We all know you as a professional sports bettor that has an operation at a level none of my listeners will ever be at. But we hear about it on your podcast. When you speak to others, people refer to it. But between that exposure at 5, you know, learning about fast money and then becoming the professional bettor that you are now, Was there ever an actual sense, like, did you ever really become a gambler, or did you enter in it from that business aspect from the jump?
I 100% was a gambler, and I lost a lot during my high school years. I would play parlay cards. I realized that, and I would go busto. I'd go to the racetrack with a pocket full of cash and come home with nothing in my pocket. I paid my tuition. I paid my school fees, as they say. You learn. And the best way to learn is by, losing and going broke. Now, thankfully, I was young and I just had disposable income, working at side jobs. So it's not like my whole life got turned upside down. But, once you learn and you go broke is when you realize, hey, wait a minute, let me wisen up, let me smarten up. And that's when I started reading books, and that's when I started taking it from a business aspect. And let me tell you, Tim, I don't want to cut your listeners short. Yeah. Don't ever, you never know. You know what I mean? Like, listen, just because I got an office, sure, I'm able to bet at a high scale. But, it all just, you build and build. One building block leads to another building block, and then you have a house all of a sudden. So I wouldn't sell the listeners short. Work hard and stay motivated. And, I'm not that special. You know what I mean? I just worked hard. I'm not the smartest guy in the room by any means. But the one thing I always will have is my work ethic. Nobody ever, can outwork me. And that's the thing I think that I take pride in. And that's kind of what got me to where I'm at today.
How long have you been betting sort of in the manner that you are now with the operation, the team, etc.?
I've been doing this full time since 2003, part time since about 99 2000. So over 20 years now doing this exclusively as my income, full time, where I didn't have any other income. Obviously, right now, I have real estate investments and different investors, but but as my sole primary income, this is it. You know what I mean? And if the games don't win, I don't eat. And that's what it comes down to. And that kind of pressure is not designed for us humans. When you work hard and you put in your time, you want to get paid. In this business, being a professional gambler, to be part of the better life, as you say, Tim, there's times which I can work my ass off and I actually have to pay instead of get paid. And when you have something like that, that's a tough pill to swallow. It's not easy. It's something that you have to get accustomed to. And to be able to stomach that took me a while. I sort of built on my bankroll middling and scalping games where I didn't really could lose. I didn't want to lose. I didn't like losing. I couldn't handle losses. But once my bankroll got big enough where the losses didn't mean much is when I started gambling more. And that's the bottom line. You want to make sure that the losses don't hurt you. I've seen so many, and again, I'm sorry for going off on tangents. I'm just speaking my mind. I've seen so many smart bettors out there that are very smart that could do well for themselves, go busto, go tapioca, because why? They lack discipline, bankroll management. They just overbet their bankroll and they lost it all. Yet they're very smart. And if they were guided and if they had some sense of guidance where they didn't have to bet their last dollar, they would have longevity. But instead, they've left the business or they would need people to finance them and they never wind up achieving the success they wanted to achieve. It takes a certain type of person to be a professional gambler. It's not meant for everybody.
Do you... I've heard people like Rob Pizzola, and if I'm misquoting Rob Pizzola, I believe it's him who said it, like he has a number in mind, and that's what he's trying to aspire to before he gets out of the game. Is that like, do you view sports betting in that manner, or is so long as they're an edge, you're going to ride it to the death?
No, I could have retired yesterday. This is nothing to do with, I'm past that goal now of making money. Don't get me wrong. I'm not allergic to making money by any means. But no, I'm right now I do it for my team. I want to make money. I still want to make money, but it's not about the money anymore right now. It's about, I defy the odds literally, by able to make a living laying 110. And when you're able to do that, it feels good. It's not natural. It's not supposed to happen. And I'm still able to do it. And until I can't do it, I'm going to keep doing it.
So Spanky, the reason that that you're coming on the Better Life when you are, we are, as we're recording this, 3 weeks away from Bet Bash 3 happening in downtown Las Vegas at Circa. I was at the first Bet Bash in Jersey City on that rooftop bar. It was a lot of fun. I think probably the best part about it was seeing everybody who at to that point was just a Twitter handle. You know what I mean? Like, up until we all hit that rooftop bar, you know, a lot of, and I agree with this with, Circles Off has mentioned this, Deep Dive. I think Gil's mentioned it before Bet Bash. You know, the sports analytics conference at MIT was kind of the only other time that the sort of, you know, the people you saw here and there on the internet sort of got all in one place. Now we have this dedicated conference to convene. What was it about what happened in Jersey City for the first one that made you think we got, like, because you announced Bet Bash 2 at that event, so before you even stepped foot and saw the attendance, you knew that the second one was coming. What gave you so much inspiration and confidence that Bet Bash 2 was a possibility, and what gave you more confidence after seeing the event take place?
Well, I did Bet Bash as a proof of concept. I honestly didn't know how many tickets I was going to sell. Once we sold 220 tickets, essentially practically selling out the joint, I knew we had to have a Bet Bash 2 before we even got to Bet Bash 1. And I knew that we had to hold it in a bigger venue, and I knew that we had to have it a multi-day event. So you're right, Tim, you remember it. I announced Bet Bash 2 in Circa Las Vegas at Bet Bash 1.
Yep.
Because I went to Derek Stevens, Matt Metcalf, I said, this thing, I just sold it out in Jersey City. People are coming from all over the country, from California, and guys like Rob Pozzola come from Canada and his crew. Guys came over from Europe. So, you know, for a one-night event, pretty amazing. And I realized that this is something that we're missing in our business. The sports gambling business historically has been a business, an interpersonal business, where you communicate with your bookmaker, where you have face-to-face interactions, or at the very least, you have voice-to-voice interactions. We are in a world now where everything is done, like you said, on Twitter, where it's keyboard-to-keyboard interactions. It's so impersonal. It's missing that human touch, or that human interaction, just hearing a human's voice. What reading words all day is not, you know, it's not something that, you know, personally I enjoy. I like to interact with people. This is how, you know, again, I don't know if it's old school or not or whatever it is, but I like to interact with people. This is how I believe I've become successful, is because I'm able to talk to people and make connections, personal connections. And that's what I wanted. And that's why I wanted to build Bet Bash. And you said it perfectly, Tim, that this wasn't Twitter handle. It was beyond the Twitter handle now. You got to look into a man's eyes, look into a girl's eyes, look into somebody and make a connection, get a phone number. You'd be able to call that person and talk about something. Hey, if you're in town, give me a call. Let's go grab a meal. Let's grab a drink. That's what it's all about, making friendships, man. And I'm all about that. I'm a personal guy, and I like to socialize, and being a sports bettor or a bookmaker, you gotta have that trait, because you can't do it alone. So I really wanted to fill that void, and I think Bet Bash definitely checked off a lot of those boxes.
Yeah. So you mentioned it, you know. You're alluding to the networking, right? The getting the phone number, getting, you know, meeting the person, putting a face to the Twitter handle, creating that friendship, creating that that relationship. So you have an event at Bet Bash. You did it last year. Sound like it went well. Looks like you're doing it again this year in the speed networking. If someone is, you know, they didn't go to last year's, they heard about it, they heard it was a success, but they're not quite sure like what they're going to get out of it. What's some, when they get that email about, you know, rating themselves and what they're looking for, what are some things for that they should keep in mind or consider when filling out that form to make sure they get the best experience out of that speed networking event?
Well, to be honest, you know, you want to fill out that form. Why did I create the speed networking event? At Bet Bash 1, Tim, I don't know if you remember, but there was a couple of guys sitting there that were very smart, but they weren't, they were just sitting with their back against the wall, you know, holding the same beer all night in their hand. It, you know, and it's tough. A lot of guys, it's hard for people to open up, particularly in our industry. I'm not trying to downplay our industry, but let's be honest here. Sports bettors, particularly successful sports bettors, are not socially social butterflies. Some are, but most aren't, and at least in my interaction. So I wanted to make an event that forced people to make friendships, and it kind of made it like a structured meetings. What is speed networking? You fill out a forms, you answer these questions. Other people fill out the same exact form. An algorithm then creates 15 5-minute meetings optimized by the way you filled out those questions to be able to create the type of people you want to meet, to be able to find it, to be able to meet the people that will complement your skill set. You might be good at X, but not good at Y. And you want to meet people that are good at Y. And the people that are good at Y are not good at X. Guess what? Boom, you make a connection there. And then when X plus Y, you know, then it's the sum of the whole is more than the parts. The sum of the parts is more than the whole. Or I think that's how it goes. One of those lines, I forget. But you know what I'm saying.
You got it right. Between the two, you got one of those.
One of them is right, exactly. So that's the thing. You know, you create it's a synergy. 2 + 2 = 5 type thing. So that's what it comes down to. You want to be able to come together. And that's why I did the speed networking. Huge success last year. We made a lot of connections on it. Can't wait to make several more. Again, I always tell everybody, if you could make one, just one connection on speed networking, it's worth the price of admission.
Sure. The downtown Las Vegas scavenger hunt. Is someone who like frequents downtown going to benefit for like, okay, you're already shaking your head of like, because I was thinking, I was like, I wonder if a few of us Vegas enthusiasts have a leg up on this simply because we spend more time, you know, in and around casinos. What can one expect without giving away the secrets and whatever? But what can we expect from the event on the scavenger hunt?
So the scavenger hunt is a team building event. You're going to be assigned to a random team. There's going to be cash prizes. Essentially, this is going to be a logic puzzle. The theme of the thing is essentially. What's the theme? The theme is that you are applying to be the runner for Chinese Mike and Spanky's operation. And in order to do so, you're going to have to solve these. Chinese Mike is going to try to encode in you, to give you in code what he wants you to bet for an amount. And essentially, you're going to have to come to the finish line with a sports betting ticket on the right team with the right amount. In order to solve that, you're going to have to go through different obstacles and different puzzles and meet different people along the way. You know, and it's going to be all in downtown Las Vegas. It's going to require teamwork. It's going to require logic, thinking. It's going to require some speed. There's a lot of different aspects of it. And I think that this is a way that kind of makes people shine, because the way I look at it, why did I think of this? Why would I build this? You know, the way I we've done similar things in my office like this and as team building events. And when you interact in a team to try to solve a common goal, you kind of see what people's strengths are. And I think if other people saw what other people's strengths are, they could say, man, you're really good at this. I think we should maybe work together because I'm a lot better at this. And I really suck at what you're good at. You know, again, it's kind of like the speed networking thing to try to build friendships and build team. And that's what it's all about, to be able to find people's strengths, weaknesses, and to be able to fill in those weaknesses with other people's strengths. It's going to be lots of fun. The worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to have fun. Best thing is going to happen. You're going to come in first and win some prizes and really, you know, and be happy. So I urge everybody to participate. And again, if you don't want to participate, that's okay too. But I urge everybody to give it a shot. If, you know, most sports bettors I know, including myself, are competitive. So people want to win. You know what I mean? When you bet a game and you want to win, right? If you participate in this, you want to win. You want to do well. And I urge everybody to give it a shot. And if you're a good puzzle solver, if you're, you know, any handicapper, stop betting sports correctly. And if you're a handicapper, it's like solving a puzzle. You got all these stats. You got all these numbers. How do you make it work? How do you look at all these numbers to try to pick the winner? Here is how do you look at all these clues that we're going to give you, and all these different, you know, instructions that we're going to give you to try to guide you to the right answer.
I am looking forward to this. When I first saw Scavenger Hunt, I was like, oh my, just was like, who can collect the most hotel pens, you know, from the sports books or whatever. Go get a Circus Sports pen from all three locations, right? Okay, good. Well, I am looking forward to the Scavenger Hunt that morning.
Yeah.
Hopefully the open bar won't hit me too hard the next morning. But
yeah, you want to be as sharp as possible on everything, but you know, pace yourself. I made the mistake. I'm not going to lie. You know, I made the mistake of like going crazy night one. You know, people make you just can't. Now, I'm not 23-year-old Spanky that could go hard every single night. It just, those days are gone. I go hard, but then I need a break. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's just me. It just, you know, but everybody, look, this is Las Vegas. You do whatever you want. You're going to have a good time. The bar, unlike Jersey City, where we were looking to go after the bar closed, in Las Vegas, we'll never have that problem because the bar is open all day, every day. So there's always going to be a place to find a drink. It's just that you got to pace yourself, and that's I advise everybody coming, don't you know bust your nut on the first night and then you know have nothing to show for it the next several days.
Evening of the first evening on Tuesday the 8th, registration and open bar at Bar Canada, and as you mentioned, the speed networking event the following morning with another open bar that evening at Bar Canada. Bar Canada, for people who have not been, it's a wonderful bar there at the D, kind of nice little cool area they got there. The Scavenger Hunt happening Thursday morning, and then Thursday afternoon and evening, Circus Sportsbook and Stadium Swim football watch party. I don't know which sporting event, I haven't looked to see what sporting events are going to be available, but I do know that at least there's going to be one Women's World Cup quarterfinal event available to watch during that same time. And I know that FIFA made U.S. matches at reasonable times, so that way the fan base could watch them. And I think that this is the most likely time, if the U.S. makes the quarterfinals, that that's the game that they'll most likely be a part of. So, Spanky, I think there's a good chance that we could be cheering in the United States of A there at Stadium Swim at Bet Bash.
Love it. Can't wait for that. You know, this was designed for the NFL preseason games.
My audience is rolling their eyes because I just force women's soccer into wherever I can. But yeah,
I love it. Love it. But hey, listen, if USA's playing, that's going to really be a big buzz. But yeah, absolutely. You know, we have NFL preseason. WNBA will be in full effect. Of course, baseball will still be around. Look, it's not. We had a watch party last year. We had Bet Bash in April. It was the Final Four. Obviously, it's not the same thing here, right? We got NFL preseason games. Games and whatnot, but look, it's not about what's on the TV. It's about the people, you know, the spread. You know what I mean? The unbelievable spread at the Circus Sportsbook or the Stadium Swim. You could go to either or both if you want, and check it out and have a good time. And again, meet friends, drink, and then watch games. And you know, there is no more beautiful sportsbook in the world today than the Circus Sportsbook. And Stadium Swim is another. It's just unbelievable. Just so beautiful. So I can't wait for that and to be able to knock a few down.
The last day it has the expert panels, and I'm looking forward to whenever you decide to go to a conference, the panel announcement is always like this fun little surprise of like, okay, what is actually going to be discussed? What am I actually going to be able to see? And the Attack in the Weekly College Football Line, moderated by Mitch Moss, the Traders panel, moderated by our friend Gil Alexander, and then the I know you have your Be Better Betters. We'll talk about that in a second. But the third true panel, which I think could end up being probably the most entertaining thing in the whole week, depending on how this goes, the Can't We All Just Get Along Twitter panel, moderated by Sammy P, Ravel, Sherapin, Benson, Kanish, Pizzola, all on the panel here. When the idea for this panel came up, was it a definite yes, or did you have any hesitation on putting this panel together?
So Matt Metcalf designed the panels, and he bounced ideas off me. And listen, you know what I mean? That panel, man, there's a lot of hesitation for all this. I was just on Dave Sharapin's show, and we were just talking. And he asked me, like, you know, how Jerry Springer used to have that bald guy, Steve, the security guard that would just stand there. I might have to have security in case somebody jumps out of their chair towards lunging. That's going to be a really entertaining panel, man. There's a lot of guys that like to talk on that panel, and Sammy P is going to have his work cut out for him. But he's definitely gonna. it's gonna be great. You know, I respect everybody on that panel. They're very good at what they do, and there's definitely gonna be no shortage of things to say on that panel. That's for sure.
I think we're gonna need odds on which panelist gets the most words in on that panel.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I have no idea.
So I am curious. For the first one, attacking the weekly college line, you have sports bettors coming in that appreciate and bet all sorts of different sports. Why'd you guys decide on college football to feature as a specific sport for this event?
Because college football, you know, the panel's on August 11th. College football starts August 20X. I forget what, 25th or 20th. It just fits. It's perfect. You know what I mean? The buzz is going to be in the air. And we kind of, you know, it's the buzz of football. You know, that's what August brings us, the buzz of college football. And I think it's really interesting. I think that's going to be, you know, the anatomy of that line. To have both bookmakers and sports bettors discuss the, you know, the life cycle of a sports betting line, particularly in college football, and how they attack it from different ways. And you have some of the sharpest college football bettors, some of the sharpest college football bookmakers, and Matt Metcalf. It's going to be great. You know, like I can't wait for that. And I'm looking to hear what several of them have to say. You know, Connor Howard is running the college football lines for at Circa. And, I don't know how long he's been doing it, but I know he's a sharp kid. And I can't wait to hear what he has to say and how he handles guys that are coming in betting his numbers.
So the I mentioned that you're going to have a Be Better Bettors live recording there, and that is going to feature Billy Walters, who is likely the most recognizable name in sports betting, in and out of the industry, right? Like, I know people who recognize that name who don't gamble at all because they've seen him mentioned in this article or by this personality. Was it a hard sell when he pitched this to Billy Walters, or was he on board from the jump?
So Billy Walters, I met him for the first time last December, and we've had so many mutual friends over the years. We just never got a chance to work together directly, but it turns out that Billy's heard of me. I've heard of him, and I've always tried to emulate Billy Walters to some extent. And if I could be 1/100th of Billy Walters, my career would have been sealed and be done, and I'd be the most so successful. He is without a doubt the most successful sports bettor to ever live, especially in U.S. sports. And him being inducted into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, that was a very big deal for him because he realized that this was not one person choosing. To be into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame was a democratic process where I created a panel of a committee of 16 people, and you need a 75% approval rating to be inducted. So you need 12 out of 16 to vote yay. And that's not easy to get, because, and I got sports bettors, bookmakers, offshore and domestic, all over the world to try to contribute to this. And Billy Walters is one of the inductees, and he's very proud of that. And he wanted to show his support. He'll obviously be coming to the induct ceremony. And I asked him, Billy, would you mind if we did an interview where I talked about sports betting? And he was all for it. And I even told Billy Walters, I'm like, Billy, there's going to be a lot of people there that are going to want to shake your hand. And his response was, and I'm going to want to shake their hand too, Spanky. Billy Walters is happy to meet other sports bettors. And he recognizes that there'll be a lot of people that want to ask him questions, and he's more than happy to address these questions and to address other sports bettors. He recognizes that sports gambling is what got him to where he is at today. Before the other successful businesses, and he wants to give back. He's a major philanthropist in several organizations in Las Vegas, and he wants to give back to the sports gambling community. That's kind of why he published his book. His book is coming out August 22nd, and he's going to be revealing a lot of things in that book that we'll be discussing, we'll be touching on the panel. But, all the proceeds of the book are going to charity. He's not trying to make a buck. He's just trying to give back, set the record straight on a few things. And I can't wait. One of the nicest guys I've ever met. But at the same time, the most lethal sports bettor in the world.
Yeah. So you mentioned it, the last item on the agenda, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony for the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. The names have been announced on VSiN and in other arenas. I'm not going to list them all here because I know people have been listening to those programs. But what were a couple of things you mentioned, the 16 persons, as you said, 16, when you first thought of this and you're thinking like, okay, high approval rate and I wanted a number of people, what are some of the things you thought of to make sure you got this right, that people thought, that people knew this was genuine and authentic?
I wanted to make it so, I wanted to have including a representation, not just a Vegas representation. I didn't want to make it Vegas centric. Although Vegas is kind of the origins of our business, so sure. But even before that, several of the best bookmakers, even today that are in Vegas, came out of the Pittsburgh area. This is just how it is. So you kind of wanted to have representation, from the underworld, from the offshore world, and guys that are bettors. I don't want it to just be bookmakers inducting bookmakers. No, you have to have bettors, because bettors can comment on who good bookmakers are or who Hall of Fame worthy bookmakers are. And we made it so that anybody that gets inducted into the Hall of Fame essentially then has the opportunity to join the committee for future Hall of Fame votes. So now Billy Walters, Scottie Scheffler, and Jimmy Vaccaro, who are not part of the committee, are now part of the committee, and which will be also growing by the other different methods and means, but they'll be now voting on future Hall of Famers. And again, the 75% approval rating will never be decreased. It'll always stay the same. And that is hard. You have to really, three out of four people have to agree you're a Hall of Famer or you're not in. I wanted to make it difficult to get in. And at the same time, I wanted to make it that it was representative of a U.S. based Hall of Fame that not just was Vegas centric. I hope I'm clear on that. Yes.
Sure. Yeah. So I can't wait for the event. I'm looking forward to the agenda is exciting in its own right. Then just being downtown at Circa with that entire group, with all the attendees, it's going to be its own experience, right? And that's something that I'm looking forward to just as much. Just but a lot of people say when you go to conferences, the conference is great, but it's what happens between the events that's almost just as exciting, right? The rubbing elbows, hey, let's grab lunch, hey, let's talk about that thing we discussed earlier. So I'm looking forward to meeting meeting people that I've been engaging with online, and two, meeting a whole new set of people that I haven't met. One thing I'm curious about: the first events in New Jersey, over 200 tickets sold. That place was packed, super successful. The following event ends up at Circa. Third one ends up at Circa. Circa is the obvious place for an event like this. But for people who maybe struggle with travel's difficult, will we ever see an East Coast event again for people that were traveling across the country is not as easy time-wise? Time commitment, or do you think that this is a Vegas event from here on out?
Well, listen, the Circa has altered their sports book to put a physical location for the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. So obviously, for them to make that kind of dedication and that kind of commitment, I can't, we just can't have the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame induction ceremony anywhere but Circa from now till forever.
Sure.
So that's obvious. And we want it. I think, look, we made it in August because of the contests. People want to come in and join these contests, and you can kind of knock two birds with one stone. And it's just the perfect place. Listen, I would love to be able to have it in other places. It doesn't, I think Vegas and the circuit is the perfect place for it. They treat us so well there. I'm friendly with everybody. Derek Stevens has been nothing but supportive, and I'm not going to go somewhere else and bring this event somewhere else after the love and support these guys have showed me. I think that, it's a perfect marriage, and I think Circa is the obvious choice for years and years to come.
Yeah, I dig it. I the August thing I think might have even been a huge tipping point on some attendees, because how, when do I get out to, how can I get out to Vegas to sign up for the and now you merge these two things and it may yeah it I
It
still need
makes
to
sense.
yeah.
Exactly. It makes sense. And I have my buddy Scott, who's starting his proxy business, Vegas Horse Pools. If you want to sign up for proxy, he's doing a business, and I'm proud to support him. And I'm proud, listen, it's gonna be hot. That's the one thing. It's not you're not gonna have it's gonna be hot as
It's
balls.
gonna be fucking hot,
Yeah, but
dude.
you know what, dude? We're gonna be mostly indoors. The scavenger hunt, people, that's gonna be a lot outdoors, a lot indoors. It depends, but keep in mind, this is for cash prizes. So you
Yeah.
could just say heck with it, but you know what I mean? You got to, just like you got to sweat a game in, you might have to sweat the scavenger hunt in a little bit, literally this time. So that's just it's just part of it, and it's okay. You know what I mean? There's always going to be an AC. You can always, and I urge everybody, if you need rooms, the D especially, and the Circa, but the D more so, has really great room rates.
Yeah.
BetBash.co, we have links there. It's really, really affordable. So if you need rooms there, the D is where Bar Canada is, and that's going to be two of the nights, and it's a 5-minute walk from Circa. So, you can't go wrong.
Yep, agreed. I believe I have my room at Golden Gate set up.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, right across, and then
Love it.
yeah. Spanky, this has been a pleasure. I've been looking forward for years to talk to you here on the Better Life. Every time I'm thinking about new guests, I'm like, oh, I should really invite Spanky, and then I never really feel prepared. And then of course you put out the announcement looking for some more media spots for Bet Bash, and I was like, hey, this is the perfect time to do this. And I look forward to seeing you in 3 weeks at Bet Bash down there at Circa.
Tim, I can't wait to see you and have a drink with you, and shoot the shit and learn more about this. And listen, you run a great podcast. I did a little research in your podcast, and you've had some solid guests on, and I like what you're doing. And I wish you all the success in the world. And I can't wait to connect, man, and have some good times, bro.
A lot of fun talking to Spanky. Hopefully we can have him on the Better Life sometime again. A guy full of experience and insight that is beyond what so many of us have to experience. Spanky was nice enough to hey, anybody can get to this level, sure, but Spanky is definitely in the way that his operation goes is on a tier of his own for sure. And what someone who I feel like the more and more you pick their brain, the more and more you become fascinated with their operation and how they go about things. So, looking forward to an opportunity to have Spanky on again. Looking forward into August, Scott Stratton, who we've been talking about having back on the show soon. He actually just hit me up and was like, "Hey, just want to make sure you saw the email that I'm ready for another episode." So I will get something scheduled with Scott. Of course, we'll have a I'll have a little trip review, if you will, when I come back from Las Vegas. And I think that's kind of what I got on the books right now. I think that's what I'll mention. That's what I'm certain of for sure. And oh, Chris Andrews from the South Point has mentioned that he's interested in one as well. Not sure when we'll be able to get him on the books, but should probably do it before the NFL season starts. So hopefully relatively soon. But those are some things that are happening in the near future. But talking about the August Vegas trip, I'll be at where I'll be at? I'll be at Sahara and Cromwell. I think Cromwell the first few days, and then Sahara the last 3 days, and then I'll have a room there at Golden Gates, right across from Circa, to sort of be a fallback plan if maybe a night gets too late at Circa during Bet Bash or something, and I don't feel like making really leaving downtown. I can just stumble across the street and fall asleep in a bed there. But I get there the 6th. I'm there probably till the 12th or 13th. I still haven't booked that trip out yet. I should do that soon. But I am definitely getting there on the 6th. I'm there till at least the 12th. My calendar's kind of full so far. I with the few people that have said, hey, I'm going to be in town, I'd like to meet up with you. If you've already hit me up and I've responded, don't worry, I'm looking forward to seeing all of you. But at this point, with Bet Bash, with a couple content opportunities that I want to pursue, and then of course is doing my own gambling and seeing people that have told me they're going to be in the area, my calendar's kind of full. So I look forward to seeing as many people as I can. If you're going to be around, we can throw a dice, grab a drink, whatever it may be. And it's going to be a fun full week there in Vegas during Bet Bash. I still plan on being there again in September. That's going to be for the day job, so a little less opportunity for me to run around Vegas, but my nights will likely be free. I think it's the 10th through the 13th or 14th of September. Like I said, daytime will be busy. Nighttime will be a little more open and free. So if you're in that area, let me know. Happy to grab a drink, throw some dice, play some video poker, whatever tickles your fancy. We can make it happen. Always love meeting people. BetterMerch.com is where you can cop some merchandise to support the show. I just went through some of my inventory and I realized I still have two Cats Playing Craps puzzles. I thought I only had one left, but I guess I have two. I have two Cats Playing Craps puzzle. These were this was a gift in a Better Santa set two, three years ago, and I still have a couple left. They are in the store for I think $15. If you know someone who likes cats and or craps, they may enjoy this puzzle if they're into puzzles. So that's there. And then, of course, you can also sign up for the Better Santa, which is back this year. It took a hiatus last year because of the birth of my Better baby. But Better Santa, it's there in the store. I'm trying to get early numbers now. I'll probably leave it open until the end of August is probably when I'll give everybody sort of a week heads notice on when I'm going to pull that from the store, because I want to have hard numbers going into September, October, so that way I can make sure that I get the right gifts and you know, figure out what these little sets are going to look like, get the Google form out so I know. Because I don't want to send crap stuff to people who don't play craps and vice versa, you know, and so on. So I try to get one or two common gifts that can transcend multiple types of players, and then find a few sort of specific gifts for people who are into certain things. And so the sooner I have that information, or sooner I know how many people may be interested, and then I'll send out the form and I'll get the information probably in September to get that out. But Better Santa's a lot of fun. I have fun putting the gifts together, sending them out, getting the responses from people. So I'm happy to do it again this year. I think that's it. That's all I got. I was trying to think of one more thing to say, but I can't. It's been a pleasure producing 213 episodes of the Better Life. Oh, that's right. I forgot. I remember what I was going to say. I was recently on an episode of Gambling with Good Juju. It's a podcast. It's a gambling podcast. RJ, who was on the show a handful of episodes ago, it was absolute pleasure being on the other side of the microphone. Not something I get to do very often, but I love doing it. And we really got into my growth as a podcaster, and a bit more to sort of that story and sort of why I was able to try so many things and fail and still be able to grow out of that. Got more into that than I really ever have before. And then of course we got into sports betting and casino life and stuff like that. So I thought it went really well. I actually listened back to it, which is something I don't often do when I'm on a podcast, but I decided to check it out to see how it turned out. And I'm really proud of what those guys are doing, and then two, of how that episode turned out. So if it interests you, I highly recommend it. Gambling with Good Juju, latest episode. I appreciate everybody taking time to listen to that. That's it. That's it. We'll come back next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It truly, truly means the world to me that you take the time to listen to this podcast. Appreciate everybody's positive feedback and your support. On behalf of Spanky, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night. Good luck.